Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. Tonight, we're going to take your phone calls. The number to call is 347-335-0818. I would first like to thank you for your recent support of WBAI in this last fund drive. Thank you, and many thanks to all staff and volunteers at WBAI. This show, in other news, has been recently returned to Monday nights, and if you've been tuning in for a few years, you may recall that the original format of the show was to take your phone calls with the guest. Live interaction with the guest and you. That's what we did here on the show. In the last few years, the format has been a whole hour with the guest. No listener for phone calls at all. Just 1 hour with the guest. Sometimes I get your feedback, and there are several listeners that I speak with that support this show with ideas and feedback, and I really appreciate that. My website is inothernewsradio.com, and there you can listen to past shows going back to 2012. But the show started in 2010, and there have been a wide range of topics and guests. And the main focus has been climate engineering. The show, In Other News, has been producing the highest volume, I would say, of shows on the topic of geoengineering and weather control than any show on the Pacifica network. And another topic that gets heavy criticism and subsequent interference afterward is the study of orgone energy as discovered by Wilhelm Reich and the empowering practical applications of the local etheric energy from deadly orgone radiation to positive orgone energy. The discussion often gets into the nature of etheric parasites. What are they? Who are they? And how long have they been around? I look at this work as an Aikido move in adding to the tools available for listeners like yourself who are tuned into this aspect of our environment. And we've done several high-quality shows with members of etheric warriors.com, including Don Croft, Jeff Miller, Laura Wisey, or Dooney, and Carol Croft, and you can find them on the website inothernewsradio.com as well. Well, as you may know, many citizen journalists have been posting their findings on the Podesta emails and the related investigations into coded language used to talk about pedophile-related meetups with children, ritual acts, and other insalubrious details. Have you been keeping up on this? If you have a comment or a question on that topic, call us at 347-335-0818. But it's worth examining because the cover-up articles in the New York Times and Washington Post speak volumes. I was surprised that they would go up against a torrent of this type of citizen journalism. In June of 2012, Nick Bryant, author of The Franklin Scandal, a story of power brokers, child abuse, and betrayal, was with me live in studio at 120 Wall Street. And if you don't think child abuse or child trafficking occurs amid certain circles in Washington, D.C., let's have a listen to a clip of this interview from 2012. It's one of the most painful topics to address and acknowledge and let alone investigate, and that's child sex abuse and child sex trafficking. This is in the gutter of human nature, and as child exploitation networks are exposed in the United States and other countries, there's a lot to learn amid the scrambling to cover it up and conceal the people behind those organizations and pedophile rings. And there's a lot to learn about the funding structures as well of these organizations and definitely the anatomy of a cover-up. We welcome back investigative journalist Nick Bryant. He's the author of the book The Franklin Scandal, A Story of Power Brokers, Child Abuse, and Betrayal. Nick Bryant's book begins with the Nebraska's failed Franklin Federal Credit Union. And then, as a reader, you're led through this investigation to Washington, D.C., where businessmen, senators, and the CIA are implicated. The hard lessons are learned by the investigators and witnesses who came forward as they stumbled upon something that started in a small Midwest community and connected to the top levels in Washington, D.C. We're joined in the studio with Nick Bryant. Welcome to the show.
Glad to be back on the show, Jeff.
Well, it's really good to have you here. You've done something incredibly important and critical for many people in this country to understand. Can you give us a brief outline of the sequence of events in this investigation?
Well, the Franklin scandal is about an interstate pedophile network that flew kids from coast to coast and pandered them to the rich and the powerful. And a lot of the kids were taken out of orphanages. Some of the kids were taken out of foster care, and some of the kids were runaways that had fallen through the cracks. And ultimately, these children were pandered to some of the richest and most powerful people in the United States of America. And the network was eventually covered up by at least two grand juries and possibly a third grand jury in Washington, D.C., with the help of course, the Department of Justice, the FBI, and the Secret Service.
Among the key players you mentioned is Larry King, and he is a Republican big shot who was involved in running the pedophile network, but he also was involved with embezzling $40 million out of the Franklin Credit Union. Can you tell listeners about that?
The Franklin Credit Union was a lower socioeconomic credit union in Omaha, Nebraska, North Omaha, which is Omaha's economically depressed segment. And it was designed to give loans to lower socioeconomic people in North Omaha. And suddenly, $40 million was missing from the credit union.
It's a lot of money.
Well, a credit union that was only supposed to have $2.5 million in it. And so there were $40 million missing. And the Nebraska Senate decided to investigate the $40 million looting of the credit union. And ultimately what happened was when the Senate subcommittee formed, social services came to them, people in social services. And social services had known about this pedophile network for a number of years because kids had come forward and said that they'd been flown here or and they talked about pedophilic parties amongst the rich and the powerful. And these were lower socioeconomic kids. So And they provided a lot of detail concerning where they were flown and who was at these parties. So social services was bringing these allegations to both state and federal authorities, and they were just simply ignored. So when the Senate subcommittee formed, social services talked to the senators and said, the $40 million, that's only part of the problem. That credit union is a front for an interstate pedophile network that is flying children from coast to coast. So then the senators started to look into those allegations, too.
You have to hand it to social services people that came forward. I wondered, so then they began the investigation into the pedophile network, but did they use social services investigative work and papers?
Yes. Social services provided the senators with a lot of paperwork, paperwork that would ultimately be sealed by two grand juries and paperwork that I ultimately ended up with. And the kids that come forward provide a tremendous amount of detail about their abuse. And social services was very concerned and knew exactly what was going on. And these this documentation was eventually given to the senators.
Before we get into Gary Caladori, I do want to mention to listeners that the information in this book does have sealed grand jury testimony in it, and you had mentioned that you weren't supposed to do this and you could be arrested.
Well, anytime that you publish sealed grand jury testimony, that's illegal. But I decided that because the cover-up of an interstate pedophile network is so evil that I felt morally obligated to use sealed grand jury testimony to show how corrupt these grand juries were. And the government does not want my book publicized at all, so they will not arrest me for using sealed grand jury testimony. If a lot of times journalists end up in the slammer because of sealed grand jury testimony or refusing to give up their sources about grand juries, I would never give up my sources. So I would eat 18 months for contempt for sure. But the government does not want to publicize Nick Bryant. The government does not want to publicize the Franklin scandal. So therefore, we're having a nice conversation right now.
That was a clip by Nick Bryant when we did an interview. If you called earlier, I'm sorry we couldn't put you right on the air because we were playing that piece. But we'll put you on the air right now. So the number again is 347-335-0818. And if you don't want to talk about that, we're also talking about really anything. Anything about this show that's been on for a number of years. Also, what are your thoughts on the current president-elect Donald Trump starting to build his administration? Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Jeff, great show. I'm glad you're back on the air. I have a friend who lives in West Palm Beach County, Florida, and his brother is a West Palm Beach sheriff's officer.
Yes.
And he's claimed for many years that they can't touch somebody who's constantly abusing young boys. And he's none other than Rush Limbaugh, that pig who's on the air every day, if you will, with Far Right Wing Radio. They say basically they protect this guy for years. He's constantly abusing young boys.
Well, I've not heard that. That's very interesting. Is there evidence?
Years ago. Well, apparently the sheriff's deputy cannot, or officer, they can't turn him in. He's that protected by higher ups, if you will, in various agencies.
Could you give me your first name and where you're calling from?
I'd be afraid to give my name out, so I'll just say that I'm from New Jersey.
Now, are you keeping up on what's going on with the many people reporting and posting their research about the related investigations into the pedophilia meetups with
I remember
children?
You talking about this a couple years ago.
But recently,
it
this is...
scared the hell out of me.
Well,
yeah.
What about the Comet Ping Pong Pizza Shop and their social media presence and the photos and connections with Clinton? Have you looked at that yet?
I've heard this a little bit, but not really looked at it.
Okay, so in, I think it was the Washington Post, they came out with a story titled, "No, John Podesta didn't drink bodily fluids at a secret Satanist dinner." And they're calling it fake news. But there's all this evidence. You know, you have a lot of very interesting evidence. But thanks for giving us an update on Rush Limbaugh.
I will never forget this. This was like 12 or 13 years ago. I was doing a little work down in Florida. The guy, you know, was from up here, and he said, "Yeah, my the family values party." I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, his brother, cousin, they're like I say, they were deputies with the West Palm Beach County." I thought he just put me on. And he goes, "No, I'm not." And I thought, "Oh, my God, no." And then there was other people mentioned, too, who lived down there, very powerful people. But he was the ringleader, if you will, with Mr. Limbaugh. It didn't surprise me because we have some of that problems up here in New York also, some names that were mentioned. And I was like, yikes.
Now, so, Nick Bryant, the author of the book The Franklin Scandal, was talking about how these people in these higher positions would engage in these activities, and some of it was because of blackmail to control these people, to follow script.
Sure, right. That makes sense. I mean, we have a county sheriff in Passaic County, New Jersey, who is known to be doing this. This is another law and order Republican in the 70s and 80s, and everybody knew it. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But he was so powerful, you wouldn't dare say a word. Otherwise, who knows what would happen. His name is Ed Engelhardt. All right? Everybody in the freaking county knew it. And nobody would dare say it in public. I'm a little nervous even saying it over the air. That's how powerful this guy was.
Right.
He stepped down under federal investigation around in 1999. And in disgrace, actually. The Democrats and the Republicans didn't matter. They all knew this. And apparently he had so much material on the Democrats that they would never say anything. But
well, we don't have evidence. Either. We don't really know if this is happening or not, but it's interesting to learn about, and it fits in with past cases, and so it's worth looking into, listeners, and especially with, you know, sheriffs that are told to stand down and the structure itself.
I really, Jeff, I felt the guy was putting me on, but I got, you know, over the years I would do work down there, and he would say, yeah, same thing. And they were constantly picking him up, if you will, with the kids. But because of his power and his wealth and his connections to various people, couldn't touch him. And he was furious. He wanted to use his, the world that we live in, the sick world.
So right.
Thank you for talking about this. It's scary, to put it mildly. But like I said, both things I've heard substantiated by other sheriff's officers here in New Jersey about good old Ed Englehart, Law and Order Englehart, who I believe has retired to Florida about 15 years ago. All right.
Yep. Well, I appreciate your call. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Keep up the good work.
And the number to call if you want to comment on this or anything else is 347-335-0818. I'll say that number again a little slower. 347-335-0818. All right, we'll go to the next call. Hi, you're on there. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, I'd like to talk about a couple of things, but especially about chemtrails. Excuse me. I don't know if people realize what is being done in our skies every day. Our skies are full of nothing but chemicals, and most of them are disguised as clouds now. But if you actually learn and you watch your sky, you can see them painting the skies with this crap every day, and then when they try to hide it, then the cloud cover comes over, and then they cover it up. But I live out here in Long Island, and we had a major fish kill today. Well, it's last night, and it's happening all day today. Over a million fish were killed. I'm trying to remember the name of the fish, but a million of them. They're talking.
Okay.
The whole inlet is about 2 or 3 feet of nothing but dead fish, and it's right next to Brookhaven Labs. And they have a heart facility out there that's involved with this chemtrail crap that's beaming this stuff. I live right here, and I watch it. I moved out here from Colorado because I was seeing mind control crap happening out there in Colorado, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And I tracked it back down out here to Montauk and Brookhaven Labs.
Mm.
And I've been out here for 5 years investigating this crap. Every day we're being poisoned. The stuff that's going on, it's really beyond belief.
It's beyond belief people do speak up about this.
It's like a nightmare happening every day in our skies right above us, and nobody, it's like a nightmare that only you see, and nobody else seems to recognize and know what's going on. And you're talking about your sheriff. We're supposed to have a constitutional sheriff out here in Suffolk County.
Mm-hmm.
He talks a nice story, but he doesn't do jack crap to stop this stuff. He's all bullshit. Excuse the language, but he.
So we can't use that language on this station, and we'll get fined by the FCC. Thank you for that call, sir. The number to call is 347-335-0818, and we're talking about really all types of things related to this show and other news. But we welcome your comments and questions, but no profanity because the station doesn't need a fine. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah. Did we get disconnected?
Well, you said the S word, so we can't broadcast that.
I said...
Yeah, you can't say it. You can't say it.
Oh, God. What are we supposed to do? Just be poisoned here?
Look, we can talk about this, and that's the issue. It's like we've gone over this. We broadcast this for years and years.
Why is nobody out here? There should be people protesting in front of that place. Brookhaven Labs. It is a criminal. It is a crime center. Crimes against humanity. This thing is beaming crap all around the world. You can sit here and watch the electromagnetic frequencies being beamed up every day. They have a huge heart facility. They talk about Gascona, Alaska being the heart. This is the real heart. That is a takes the attention off the real one, which is right here at Brookhaven Labs. They have two particle accelerators that are hooked up to this HARP, and they're doing crimes that are just absolutely unbelievable.
Right, and
people,
so what,
people better get off their butt.
Yeah.
If you can't say that, then I'm sorry, but people better start caring and start doing something. Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir. So, listeners, as you can tell, there's a lot of frustration out there on this specific issue. Filling the skies, the air that we breathe, with particulates, and we don't even really know what those particulates are. Yes, we have a list, and some people have said it's coal fly ash. Matches the fingerprint, the chemical makeup of coal fly ash. Well, that's interesting, and a lot of scientists have come forward with that information. But there are other things as well. We've gone over that in detail, but you heard the frustration in this gentleman's voice. People are really upset. Will the aerosol operations continue with the Trump administration? Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening. I sympathize with your caller, but... Again, I agree with you. There's a place for certain types of language, and just coming out and saying whatever he's saying, while I respect what he's saying, you can do without that language. Anyway, I just want to comment a little bit about the recent election and how it was actually a plebiscite on the sanity of the United States. It was almost like mind control 101.
Unbelievable, wasn't it?
And it was. But it's also, and I just realized this is also like another coup. It's even though it was an election that was supposedly had won according to rules, this was a coup between the militia alt-right faction of the control grid and the NWO faction of the control grid. And it seems to me that there is a nexus there somehow, because this is definitely something that came out of the blue. I think some people expected it. I myself expected it, because the climate of the country is that. It's been brewing for a long time. And this is part of the destruction of the political situation in America. I mean, this is grooming us for basically a totalitarian takeover. And so this is what I see according to that. It's not about Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. I think it's really a plebiscite on the sanity of the nation. We're feeling now. We're not thinking. And so because we're just feeling, you know, we can feel good or bad. And this is all what it's about. They didn't discuss any issues. There are no issues to discuss. And so therefore, this is where it's going to lead to a situation where we're all going to be in deep, as you, deep waters.
Deep waters, and it really bothered me, caller, that you know you hear about what's going on with George Soros, another billionaire who is paying protesters and going up against Trump, and here we are.
Yeah, but that's like almost like an agent provocateur because.
I think it really does harm to a grassroots movement, and
it does
because
and at this point, protesting in the usual way is not going to work, and so it's not about protesting; it's about sitting back and assessing what there actually needs to be done in small groups and in town hall meetings and whatever way that you can, but to sit back and assess. We're reacting now. Everybody's reacting. They're jumping on feelings. And by the time this man gets inaugurated, we're going to be spent. And so Donald Trump was not elected. There would actually be a revolution in this country. I don't mean an armed revolution. He already threatened the country with that because he said he wasn't going to concede. So if Hillary Clinton didn't win by a wide enough margin to make that difference, believe me, today we would not be having this conversation. Because the people on the right don't protest, they act. And so there's a whole perspective that's being missing by the so-called progressive and left people in this country. So I didn't want to cut you off from what you're saying.
Yeah, I think there's a missing perspective indeed by the left and progressives who are not Democrat voters. But I also think in their place, we got a big problem with the paying of protesters, and especially if they're violent.
Of course, absolutely.
Anything built on violence doesn't stand. It's a house of cards. It's going to fall apart.
It doesn't stand for people who are, like I said, people on the left are not violent people.
They're nonviolent protesters, yeah, and that's how a movement is built.
Yeah. Okay, but unfortunately, we're coming up against that threat of violence. So we have to find some other way to address this situation that's going to bring even dissatisfied people on the alt-right into the situation, because you don't want to isolate them either, because they have legitimate grievances, whatever they are.
It's in our face, though. Here, there's an article, Soros prepares for Trump war. There's another article, George Soros sued for $550 million by a dead cop's father. It's in the U.S. District Court in Dallas, and Soros is named here for fueling and busing in people that committed some of these crimes. And when you have a lawsuit like that that's pointing to Soros, you know, there's the fire. There was smoke, now there's fire. And so you can point to
Soros' history. Look at Soros' history. Look at his history with the Nazis.
How did we let ourselves be caught in between these billionaires?
Is this a capitalistic symptom? I think we're caught because we're so involved with the social media trend. And we're reacting to a lot of things, to instantaneous information, and we're not checking out all the sources. And so we're at the point right now where we're scrambling. And that scramble, if anybody could step into that fray. And we're looking for direction. So this is a very troubling time right now. And I think cooler heads need to prevail.
I don't know if you've read about the 7 points and legislative initiatives that Trump plans: a constitutional amendment to impose term limits on all members of Congress, a hiring freeze on all federal employees to reduce federal workforce through attrition, exempting military, public safety, and public health, a requirement that for every new federal regulation, 2 existing regulations must be eliminated, a 5-year ban on White House and congressional officials becoming lobbyists after they leave government.
Wow. So this is the Heritage Foundation's platform. come to fruition.
Yeah, a lifetime ban on the White House officials lobbying on behalf of a foreign government, a complete ban on foreign lobbyists raising money for American elections.
This is a nationalist platform.
This one is interesting because, you know, I was mentioning the geoengineering and climate engineering topics, and it'll be interesting to see what happens under this. Cancel billions in payments to UN climate change programs and use the money to fix America's water and environment.
Well, I tell you something, that is definitely something that needs to be done. I mean, that not to say that you want to cancel out the other. I think a lot of this is just pre-term bluster.
Okay, rhetoric?
You
think it's rhetoric?
I think it's rhetoric, because when it comes down to it, you're talking about somebody who's not a politician. You're talking about people who are advising him from think tanks, okay? And so these are like a wish list. This is like a wish list. And this is where the people who have good sense and who are still on this planet need to step into this situation. As tragic as it is, this is really a wake-up call for the United States of America. And it was a long time coming, but it's here. I mean, look at it. Donald Trump is a billionaire, and he's representing the United States of America. I mean, it's almost surreal, but it's real. If anything, a capitalist country as America, Donald Trump is the perfect embodiment of what we are at this point. I'm saying it cynically, but it's also realistically. I mean, that is, I think, why a lot of people voted for him. It's also, too, we have been infantilized, basically, as citizens. And so we're not thinking anymore.
I appreciate your comments there. I don't agree with Trump representing the voters right now. There's some other information, because I don't think he was voted in. There's still contention there.
If we go by that, if we go by saying that he's not voted in, because if Hillary Clinton would have won by the Electoral College, there wouldn't be any. I'm saying that the people who are supporting him, the men, women who are supporting him, we're not going to go away. It's a sizable amount of the American population that put him in government. Hillary Clinton conceded. She didn't even put up a fight. She conceded.
That's what I'm talking about. There was something very unusual. We'll get into that if we have time to go through some of the work of Miles Mathis, who wrote about this.
Okay. I'm just saying. I'm just laying this stuff out there. I'm not, you know, it's just that this is, you know, in a almost surreal way, this person of Donald Trump is an embodiment of the American psyche.
Well,
at this particular point, maybe not yours, maybe not mine, but a lot of people in America agree with his rhetoric, a lot. And that's what we need to step to that. And you can't just override their feelings.
Not at all.
You might want to.
You have to accept it. I agree.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. I really appreciate your call.
Okay. Good night.
Good night. Very interesting. The number to call, we're taking your calls, is 347-335-0818. My name is Jeff Brady. I host In Other News. We've got just about 15, 20 minutes left in this hour. That number again is 347, I'll say it slower, 347-335-0818. We're going to look into some information on the Glass-Steagall Act as well. But Miles Mathis, I mentioned him because he wrote a very interesting story on the election night coverage, which I recommend you checking out. We're going to go to the next call. You're on the air. Go ahead, caller.
Okay. Thanks for your show. I'm glad to hear you're back on the air. And a couple of ideas. One about this election is, one, perhaps because of all these investigations and the WikiLeaks and stuff was really revealing a lot, maybe she decided, or the powers that be decided, that rather than have her win, to throw it at Trump, you know, with the computer voting machines.
You got it.
And he would pardon her and stop, you know, and stop all investigations of the Clinton Foundation in exchange. That's one thought. I'm glad you brought up the chemtrails, or one of the callers did.
He sure did.
Because that really is horrifying. I mean, between that and Fukushima, and, you know, Cuomo is funding, with $6 billion of our taxpayer dollars in New York State, to using that money to fix up decrepit nuclear plants upstate New York.
I heard about that.
And also, they're just completing a giant gas pipeline running a few feet from the Indian Point nuke plant, which is also decrepit, 30 miles from New York City. So no one is talking about these things. It's certainly admirable about Standing Rock, but right here in New York State, we have some serious pipeline and nuclear issues that need to be discussed.
Right, a gas pipeline running right by the Indian Point nuclear plant.
Plant, right, under the Hudson River.
With
Fukushima on the Hudson.
Amazing. Well, thanks for bringing that up. I appreciate that. But yes, we shall see what happens with the ongoing aerosol operations. But this is worldwide. I mean, some people thought
it is.
When,
it is, and it's really an example of deep state, because I travel a lot and I've seen this in the skies of many other countries, some of which are not in NATO, you know. And so this is extra national situation,
filling the air with whether it's coal fly ash or whatever these particulates are comprised of. Just saturating the atmosphere with it. It rains down on us. We're breathing it in.
The forests are dying. You can see that. You know, you can really see it in lots of parts of the country. The mold is growing more on the trees,
right.
And they're dying because of that alkalinity in the soil from the aluminum and all those things in the sky. So, you know, those are Those are pretty scary things. You know, there's a few things coming from Trump that are encouraging. Like he said he's anti-vaccine, or he wants to investigate the vaccine industry. That's encouraging. And, you know, there's a couple, you know, he wants detente with Russia, which is a dangerous proposition for a president. You know, remember JFK. But, you know, mostly everything else is despicable. Of course, I didn't vote for him, nor Hillary, you know. But it's interesting. It's an interesting puzzle. You know, I'm interested in other people's opinions on this stuff.
I certainly
so
am.
I'm going to hang up now.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your call and perspective. That's really interesting, isn't it? Are you feeling like that? Please give us a call. The number to call is 347-335-0818. You're listening to WBAI. This is In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. This show's been on since 2010. It's been moved around a little bit, but we're back on Monday nights. And that number again is 347. We're going to put you on the air in New York City. 347-335-0818. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. I'm on air?
You're on the air, caller. Go ahead.
Okay. So the election, losing to Donald Trump, I think I blame Hillary a bit for it, and I also blame the Obama government for it a little bit. I believe they didn't take Donald Trump very seriously from the onset when he came into the scene to run for the presidency.
Caller, can you give us your name and where you're calling from?
My name is Senator Anwar Yakaba. I'm calling from the Bronx.
Calling from the Bronx, okay.
Right. And also, what happened was the Democrats were trying to paint a picture that America is okay, everybody living in America is doing very well, which wasn't the case, you know?
Right.
So I was thinking they should have put some little hope in their message to give hope to the people. That was why people didn't come out to vote for Hillary. And they were all assumed automatically because of all the bad things Trump was saying, Trump was going to go down. And that didn't happen. And also, I think I blame the government a little bit for what happened.
Okay, caller. I appreciate
that's all I gotta say.
Thank you
right,
very much. I appreciate your insight there and perspective. Miles Mathis writes, if you search on, quote, Donald Trump accepted speech right now. Now, this is the night before the election. The first thing that comes up is a link to InsideEdition.com, and the first thing you see there is a video ad for Xiidra, a drug for dry eyes. You have to watch it. You have to watch it before you watch Trump. The first words on the screen in that video are, eyes open. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Oh, I'm on the air. I'm sorry. I'm just listening. This is my first time listening
okay,
to the show.
Okay, you accidentally dialed.
I wanted to know exactly, what was the question exactly? Because I just got on.
Oh, I see. Okay. No, we're talking about your current perspective right now as Trump builds his administration.
Well, honestly, you know, I didn't vote for Donald Trump and I didn't vote for Hillary Clinton for neither side, but I'm a little bit optimistic. I think I didn't want neither of them win. I wanted the other gentleman to win, which I forgot his name, Sanders. That's who I wanted to win, but I guess he didn't win. But at the end of the day, I feel like protesting and doing all these crazy things. Personally, I don't feel it's necessary because he already won the presidency already. I just think with us, we just gotta watch him and make sure that he makes the right decisions, make sure he changes his mind on some of the things that he said he was going to do, and which we can see that from the 60 Minutes. A lot of things he said he was going to do, he's not going to do anymore. You know, like Obamacare, he said he was going to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the conversation, he mentioned he's not going to get rid of it anymore. He's just going to take some off and keep some in. And same thing with illegal immigration. You know, talking about he's going to be deporting 2 to 3 million people with criminal records, and only the rest he will create a bill for them. So I think he will soften a little bit. The people will change him eventually. Then, you know, I'm optimistic, you know, in this whole thing.
Wow. Okay, that's a refreshing perspective, and I appreciate the points that you mentioned, and have a great night.
Thank you.
So we're getting a little bit of everything here, and I appreciate that because it also shows the wonderful diversity of this listenership here in New York City and the five boroughs, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Staten Island, and Long Island. Yeah, some of the areas that we really dig into is geoengineering, and it will be interesting to see what happens here in the United States with that, in North America in general. We're going to go to the next call. Hi, caller, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, this is my name is Peter from Stamford, Connecticut.
Okay.
And my impression was that I don't think Trump was expecting to win. I think he was totally, when he finally, when the numbers finally came out with Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, you know, and Wisconsin, when it, you know, it was, they were, I think it was like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right. Pennsylvania was called by 2:30 a.m., I believe.
It was 2:30 a.m., something like that, 2:30 a.m. And I think he was in total shock.
Yeah, it was,
and
go
you
ahead.
Know, he was saying so many just totally disqualifying things, and totally inappropriate things in the campaign trail. And I think he's in shock, still in shock, and he hasn't really. I think he's made his speech, his victory speech,
right,
quote unquote, or acceptance speech. It was the first grown-up talk that he's made in years. That, because he didn't know what to say, he didn't know what to do. Well, I think it reminds, I guess it was sort of like the Mexican, when he went down to Mexico, he was reading on the teleprompter. I think he's totally out of character now, trying to be an adult. We'll have to see. You know, you have to give him a chance. I know that he's the cabinet, the cabinet people he's selected or on the list are totally way out there, because you know he was surrounded by these, you know, fringe, these right wing fringe people, and he doesn't have anybody else on his Rolodex or iPhone to call, you know.
There's plenty of time, right, for people to step up and maybe angle for those positions, and you know.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. There's so many. It's time for plenty of time for people to submit the resumes and to put their names out there. And you know, I mean, I remember a few months ago I saw something on, I don't know if I can say, another program, Morning Joe. They were talking about him with the nuclear codes, you know, and people were very concerned about that this person with this temperament has the nuclear codes in his possession by virtue of being the president, and what's going to happen? And I think he's a little spooked himself, you know.
My question is,
if he had lost, mm-hmm. Would he do all of his, you know,
contest the election and voter fraud?
Contest the elections, all this, you know, charade of rigged election lists and that. Would he actually go through it? It's all a bluster, you know.
It's a good question. Considering his temperament, I say yes, you know, like the sore loser actor or character. It's very likely that that would have occurred, but something else occurred.
How close it was. Mm-hmm.
The way Hillary went from more electoral votes to the popular vote was mathematically impossible, according to some people.
What do you mean mathematically impossible?
Well, according to some people who write about it. But I want to get to the White House being the center of real power. Is that true? A lot of people don't think that the White House really is the center of real power in the United States.
And, of course, you know, the joke when W. Bush was in the presidency, of course, Cheney was the acting president. And so you could say that Cheney was the prime minister and George W. Bush was the president, if you can make an analogy to other countries. You know, the president is a figurehead but the prime minister wields the power. And that's sort of like that, because the president, the vice president is the president of the Senate, and the president, you know, is the figurehead. But of course, that's sort of putting the perspective of the presidency on his head, because most people, the big joke was, what does the vice president do, you know, besides occupy a seat?
Well, we'll see what Pence does, and it's chilling for a lot of people looking at this who suspect if Trump can't handle it, may step down or something may occur. And
you know,
Pence.
And I never thought about it. Yes, as Cheney was the brains behind the W administration, Pence could be take a role of Cheney, you know, and he could be the acting, you know, prime minister, and whereas Trump would be the figurehead. I never thought about that before, but. It could be, because definitely Pence knows what he's doing. And a few of the people on the list, I mean, that we have somebody like, I don't know if you want to get into the other article that you were going to talk about.
The election night coverage? Yeah.
Yeah, the election night coverage of the guy, what's his name, Morris? Miles Mathis. I don't know if you want to talk about him because we only have a couple minutes left.
Are you familiar with his work?
No, I'm not familiar with his work.
He's pretty good. He does these great essays, and I did some scathing essays on and revealing Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk.
My main two sources are, of course, Gary Null on Noon, and also The Young Turks, Secular Talk on YouTube. But I'd be interested in what Miles Mathis, his perspective. But I would say, as far as the electoral votes, it's very plausible that Clinton has the electoral, because California, New York, and Illinois are huge.
Right, there's something going on there, and something we only have a few minutes left in the show. I just want to thank you for the call, and I appreciate
you. Okay, all right, thank you very much. I'll call some other time.
Yeah, next Monday, 11 p.m.
Okay, very good. Thanks. All right.
Take it easy. Bye. Well, listeners, this is very interesting. I wish we had some more time here to go over some of this election night coverage with Miles Mathis. Now, we got a call. Whoever's calling right now, let's see what you got. Go ahead, 30 seconds, caller.
I'm just calling to say that the election was rigged, triggered with. Somebody did something, it didn't turn out the way it was supposed to, and Trump is an imbecile, he should be locked up.
So that's a sentiment, rigged election. Check out Miles Mathis' article, Election Night Coverage. It's worth going into. And this is what we've accepted. Computer touch screens to record our votes. Is this real? Well, that's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. See you next week.